Thank you very much. So I just wanted to acknowledge my co-authors from IBIS and from Genuity Health Projects, and I have no disclosures. The results that I'm going to present today are part of and related to a study that we did looking at the phenomenon of abortion self-induction in the U.S., so women who are self-inducing abortions outside of clinic settings. This was a study that we did in New York City, Boston, and San Francisco. And among the many factors that we identified in that study, sort of the motivating factors that were pushing women to attempt abortion self-induction, one of them that emerged was a lack of knowledge about abortion laws and services, especially for young women. Some of these were just related to not knowing where to find an abortion clinic, where services were available. Sometimes it was related to incorrect knowledge about laws like parental consent. About half of the women in the study who had attempted self-induction were 19 or younger at the time, and many thought, either correctly or incorrectly, that they needed parental consent, and that was one reason why they chose to self-induce. For a few women who chose to self-induce, it was also related to other knowledge barriers, sometimes related to immigration status. There was a woman, for example, from San Francisco who attempted self-induction who was an immigrant from Mexico, undocumented, and she said that she knew abortion was legal in the U.S., but she thought it was only available to citizens. That's one reason why we're focusing on this issue about knowledge in this population. Obviously, also lack of knowledge about laws and services might delay people accessing abortion care and push them later into their pregnancy. The study, as I said, it's a subset of questions that I'm going to present the results from our self-induction study. And for that study, we focused on Latinas, mainly because there had been reports both in the media and one previously published report suggesting that this phenomenon was more common among Latinas, which probably is not true, but at the time that's what we thought, and so that's one reason why this is focusing on Latinas. So in terms of the participants, this was and how the study was set up, it was a face-to-face questionnaire that was administered to women aged 15 to 45 who spoke English or Spanish. We recruited women in the waiting rooms of primary care clinics and full-scope OBGYN clinics in San Francisco, Boston, and New York City. The clinics that we selected primarily served low-income women, and also had a large proportion of their clients were Latinas, but they were not exclusively Latinas. One thing I want to highlight, just kind of tying into Amanda's presentation, obviously we did this study in three states, which are probably best case scenarios. So Massachusetts, New York, and California, all of which are states where abortion is covered by Medicaid. So if anything, this is kind of really the best case scenario.
Dan, could you speak up just a little, or maybe?
Oh, sorry. Is that better? Oh. Okay, I will talk louder, but I don't know if you want to ask if there's any technical questions. So we approached about 2,500 women for the study, and a little over half agreed to participate. The acceptance rate ranged among the different sites, and we didn't collect information about why women declined to participate, but in general, the interviewers felt that it was mostly related to kind of a concern about time that they were in the waiting room and they were worried they were going to get called for their appointment, and that's why they didn't want to participate. So the questions that I'm going to focus on from the survey are these related to laws and services. So we had a question about, according to what you know, up to how many months of pregnancy can a woman get a legal abortion here in this state? According to what you know, does a woman need her partner's consent in order to get an abortion here? Does a woman under the age of 18 need the consent of her parent or guardian? And then the other question was, suppose that you needed or wanted an abortion at a clinic or a doctor's office here in this city or state. Do you know of a place where you could go? We then performed bivariate analyses using chi-square tests to look for associations with certain demographic variables, and then performed logistic regression. So I'm just going to go quickly through some of the socio-demographic profile of the participants. Overall, the median age of participants was about 29. As you can see, women were a little bit younger in Boston. This slide shows the education level. I'm sorry, it's probably a little hard to see, but going toward the right of the columns is more education. About 7% had only up to 8th grade education, 50% had up to 9th or 12th grade education, and about a third, a little bit more, had some college education. Overall, women in San Francisco were less educated compared to the other cities. In terms of race and ethnicity, about 60% of the participants were identified as Latina or Hispanic. That's in the first column, and you can see that was there were more Latinas recruited in San Francisco and New York compared to Boston. In Boston, there were more African Americans. Overall, it was about 21% African American in the whole sample. And there were also actually more immigrants from Africa in the Boston sample as well, which I'll talk more about. Again, this is probably difficult to see, but this relates to the nativity of the participants. So the first bar is that means that they're at least a third generation U.S., meaning that their parents were born in the U.S. Overall, about 46% of the whole population were born in the U.S. 47% of the population were born in Latin America or the Caribbean. That's that tall sort of light pink one in San Francisco where there were most of the participants were Latin American immigrants. 6% of women were immigrants from another country. And most of those were actually in the Boston site. And as I said, most of those were from Africa. Among the foreign-born participants, about a third had come to the U.S., had lived in the U.S. for 0 to 5 years, and about two-thirds of them had been here for more than 5 years. Obviously, the country of origin also differed among the different cities. In San Francisco, it was more people with backgrounds from Mexico and Central America. On the East Coast, it was more Dominican, Puerto Rican, and then also in Boston, it was more Haitian and African. This just shows the primary language spoken at home. So overall, in the whole sample, 38% were primarily Spanish speakers, and 46% were primarily English speakers. The proportion of Spanish speakers was highest in San Francisco. That's the first bar. Of those who identified as being Latina or Hispanic, a little over two-thirds, so 68%, said that Spanish was their primary language that they spoke at home. These are just a few of the other additional characteristics of the participants. About half of them were currently working. About half were receiving some form of governmental assistance like welfare or food stamps. As I mentioned, there were several differences among the three different sites. Go past that. So now I'm going to talk some about our findings related to the knowledge about the abortion laws and services. So regarding the gestational age limit, you can see it was kind of all over the map. Abortion is legal and available in all three of these states up to about 23 or 24 weeks. So we kind of fudged this a little bit and said that a correct response was if women said abortion was legal up to 5 months or up to 6 months. So overall, about a quarter of participants had reasonably accurate knowledge about the gestational age limit, but you can see quite a few either didn't know or thought that the gestational age limit was earlier than that. Just looking at the Latina population, 27% of Latinas correctly identified the gestational age limit compared to 48%, significantly higher among non-Latinas. I apologize, this is also difficult to read, but this is the results of the logistic regression looking for what are the predictors associated with correct knowledge about gestational age limits. I also apologize, there's one error in here where it says single, that should be the odds ratio is actually 1.56, not 0.56. So the factors that were significantly associated with better knowledge, with correct knowledge of the gestational age limit were being recruited in New York. Again, shout out to New York. Age 25 to 34 compared to older women, and being single compared to married women. And then the factors that were associated with poor knowledge or incorrect knowledge about gestational age limits included having less education, being an immigrant, a preference for Spanish, speaking Spanish at home as a primary language, and not having children. These are the results related to knowledge about partner consent. As you know, partner consent is not required for obtaining an abortion. And overall, about two-thirds of women correctly knew that, but the remainder either thought it was required or weren't sure. And again, Latinas was a significantly lower proportion of Latinas who got this correct. And then looking at the results of the regression analysis, the factors that were significantly associated with incorrect knowledge about partner consent included less education, being an immigrant, and primarily speaking Spanish at home or some other language. But interesting, I mean, this and the other previous regression, just wanted to highlight that when we control for these other factors, Latina ethnicity was not significant. Regarding parental consent, as you also probably know, parental consent is required in Massachusetts. And actually, about close to 70% of the participants recruited in Boston knew that, or said that correctly. So I'm just presenting here the data from women who were recruited in San Francisco and New York, where parental consent is not required. Overall, only 28% knew that parental consent is not required to obtain an abortion. And again, Latinas overall performed worse on this. In the regression analysis, then controlling for all factors, all the covariates here, the only significant factors that were associated with incorrect knowledge about parental consent were less education and being an immigrant. And then finally, regarding whether they knew of a place where they could actually obtain abortion care, 57% of women could actually name a place where they thought that they could obtain an abortion. A similar proportion actually knew that they believed that there was financial support available at a clinic that could help pay for the abortion. And also, interestingly, of those, about a third thought that it didn't matter what the woman's immigration status was, that even an undocumented immigrant could obtain that additional funding. Again, looking at the regression analysis, the factors that were associated with being able to name a place where they could obtain an abortion, those factors that were significantly associated with that were being single or being in a relationship but not living together. They were able to name a place to obtain an abortion care. And then those factors that were associated with not knowing where they could obtain an abortion included having less education, being an immigrant, preference for Spanish, and not having any children. So in conclusion, in this sample at least, when we controlled for other factors, including immigration, and whether a person was an immigrant, and preference for speaking Spanish, we found that Latina ethnicity was not associated with poor knowledge about abortion laws and services. So another way of looking at this, that non-immigrant English-speaking Latinas seem to have similar knowledge about abortion laws and services compared to the general population. But those factors that were associated with poor knowledge about laws and services, included women that had less education, immigrants, those who spoke primarily Spanish at home, married women, interestingly, and those without children. I think it really just highlights how these are populations where we need to have more effort targeting these populations to educate them, inform them about abortion laws and services. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Tracy. So a third of your population had already had an abortion. Do your analysis change at all if you take out all the prior patients who would have sort of individual knowledge because of their own experience?
That's an interesting, we haven't done that. I mean, sort of a related thing is
I wonder if it's related to the marriage. I wonder if the marriage people and the people with kids are more likely to have a prior abortion. That's what you're picking up rather than that there's something about being married.
You're saying that that's an interesting idea. We went into this thinking also that we might find some association with those who had actually attempted self-induction and poor knowledge, but in fact it was the reverse. So women who had attempted self-induction, often also because they had had multiple abortions, actually had much better and more accurate knowledge about abortion laws and services. But you're right, we haven't looked at this yet by just looking at the women who had not had a previous abortion.
Also, just to add on to that, if you have the data about previous abortion, whether it was in the U.S. or not, because that would affect the certain laws. But I had a question about just the eligibility and the appetite if abortions were offered at those clinics. So if it is a woman in the same world taking these abortions
At some of the sites, abortion was offered. In general, it's very few women who participated in the whole study who were there to obtain an abortion. Yeah. Anything else?
Any questions?
Good, thanks.